Thank you, Albert, for leading us in prayer and having quieted our hearts before the Lord. There is a softness there. Our hearts, the walls of our hearts are thin after worshiping in song and receiving the sacrament of grace and then praying. And so we're ready to hear God's word read and proclaimed. Well, today we rejoice again at another baptism. And happily, we have been blessed with many births and baptisms in the last couple years. I've kind of lost count, actually. I might have to ask our clerk to help us remember how many we've had. We've had so many. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. You know, every baptism is a spiritual milestone of faith. And Annabelle doesn't know this yet, but one day she will, because her parents will remind her of her baptism. And maybe Sadie will remind her too, right? And then together, they will remember, yes, I was baptized, I belong to God, and nothing can ever change that. Now, earlier in the baptismal service, we heard about some of the benefits and blessings of baptism, which are now Annabelle's. And so we rejoice that Annabelle is just fully enfolded in the church. God's grace is poured out on her. Her sins are washed away through the shed blood of Christ. So we rightly rejoice when a person, child or adult, any age, is baptized. For through baptism, God communicates grace to us and assures us our sins are forgiven through the shed blood of Christ. And we constantly need that reminder. And so every time we have a baptism, we are reminded that Jesus died for us. Our sins are washed away through his shed blood. We belong to him. So as we enjoy all of those blessings and benefits of baptism today, and as Annabelle receives them in all the fullness through the actual baptism, we recognize that baptism is not a guarantee of an easy life. In fact, it often leads to a very challenging life of faith. A challenging life, a difficult life, but a very blessed life. Just because Annabelle has been baptized doesn't mean her life will be easy. She'll have hard times, as we all do. So how can Annabelle and all of us remain faithful to God when hard times come? That's what I want to talk about today as we hear and meditate on our next gospel story. So reading now from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they'll lift you up in their hands, so that you'll not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, we have received your blessing in earnest in this worship service. And now we look for another blessing, the blessing you give us through your word. Please speak to us, Lord, for your servants are listening. As we enter this wilderness journey with Jesus, we look for your guidance, for your help, your support, your blessing and your grace, all through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we hear this story from Matthew chapter 4, you may recall if you were here last week that we heard from Matthew chapter 3, we saw Jesus himself be baptized in the Jordan River. And when Jesus was baptized, he heard God's words of love and affirmation. "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And now there's a sense that Annabelle hears these ancient words that have echoed down through the ages. Like God saying to her, "You are my daughter. I am so pleased with you." And so whenever an adult or child is baptized, we recall those words of love and affirmation for ourselves. But notice what happens after Jesus is baptized. The Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness. Now, why would the Spirit of God do such a thing? I thought the Holy Spirit was the great comforter. Is it a comfort to go into the wilderness? Well, in the ancient world, the wilderness was actually a place to avoid. It was not a comfortable place to be. Now, we may head to the wilderness for a camping trip, you know, go spend a week or two in some hot desert-like place in the winter. But in the ancient world, that was not their preference. They wanted to stay in the village or in the city where they were safe and where there was provision. Just think of Old Testament Israel wandering 40 years in the desert. This was no winter vacation in Mexico. This was a very hard experience for them, a time of testing and training. Would Israel remain faithful to God in hard times? And as we recall that story and all the learning that occurred, unfortunately, some of them did not learn their lesson in the wilderness, as we heard in our call to confession earlier. And so there was just trouble and hardship in the desert. I wonder if Jesus thought about ancient Israel as he headed into the wilderness. He had just been baptized. He had just received God's words of affirmation. And now the Spirit leads him into the wilderness. Why? Why would the Spirit of God do such a thing? Because Jesus needed to be tested and prepared for a life of ministry. You see, the Spirit doesn't tempt people. The devil does that. But he does test them. So they'll learn to trust God and cling to their baptismal identity even in hard times. Now, it may be hard for us to believe that our good and loving God would lead us into the wilderness to be tested. But if you look at if you study the scriptures, you'll see it's actually a fairly common occurrence. We already mentioned the Israelites in the wilderness, tested for 40 years, even as God blessed them and cared for them. Another Old Testament story comes to mind, God calling Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar, as recorded in Genesis chapter 22. Do you remember that story? Abraham had just received God's gift, a son, an heir, someone to carry on his name, but also to God to create this big nation. And then God says, "Okay, Abraham, you need to give him up for me." Would Abraham pass the test? Happily, he does. And God goes on to spare Isaac and then makes him into a great nation. We may not like to think about this very much, but testing is actually relatively common for the people of God. And I think this is an important counter story for us today, because some churches teach that if you follow God, everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be just great. Now, if you follow God, it will be good. It will be great in terms of receiving his blessing, his guidance, his support, his grace, his salvation, all the things that we desperately need. But when you follow God, life will not be easier, but it'll definitely be blessed. And sometimes the blessing comes through testing. Baptism is not a pathway to a happy life, but to a blessed life. So in our story, Jesus heads into the wilderness to be tested by the Spirit and tempted by the devil. By the way, one of my great discoveries in this passage was learning that the Greek word for tempted, and like in verse 1 of the text, tempted, is actually the same word for tested. So I think Jesus is being tested by God and tempted by the devil in this story, and that's what we see. And notice where the devil attacks him. At the core of his being, his baptismal identity. Remember, Jesus had just received, had just received God's words of love and affirmation. And now what does the devil do? He seeks to make him doubt his baptism. Hence the repeated refrain, if you are the Son of God, what did Jesus just heard? This is my beloved Son. If you are the Son of God, the devil's saying, are you really the Son of God? Come on, you're just a man. You know, does God really love you? Is he really caring for you? And we're not going to walk through all the different temptations, which is also a wonderful study, and I have preached on that here before. But I want to focus on is how the devil attacks Jesus at the core of his baptismal identity, making him doubt that he's really the Son of God. Now, happily, Jesus is able to resist the devil's temptations. And how does he do it? Because he devoted himself to God's word. And as he did that, as he looked back at the scriptures, in fact, he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy 3 times, very interesting to me. I just recently read through Deuteronomy again. This is the long, rich sermon that Moses, the man of God, preached to Israel. As Jesus clings to Moses' word, God's word through Moses, he is able to remain faithful because he's able to remember his baptismal identity. Now, as we read this story, we think, well, of course Jesus remained faithful. I mean, he was the Son of God. I mean, what else would we expect, right? And it's true. Jesus had, you know, considerable resources to draw on because he relied heavily on God's word. So when he went through this time of testing, happily his baptismal identity stuck. It kind of caught, and he was able to cling to it. But sometimes I think we forget that just as Jesus had God's word to cling to, he had also been anointed by the Spirit who came down on his baptism, we have the same resources too. We also have God's word at our disposal that we can cling to and devote to and meditate on. And we also have the Spirit of God whom we receive at our baptism. We have the same resources that Jesus does to help us resist temptation when that time comes. But unfortunately, our stories don't always go that well, do they? We may have our own time of wilderness wandering where, you know, maybe you're kind of in that wilderness right now and you're not quite sure that you want to follow Jesus. Or maybe you look back on a time when you did walk away and you're just so glad that you've come home again. Or we may recall a child or a grandchild or a neighbor or friend or a student that we know that was baptized and was following Jesus and then has since fallen away. I think we can all think of people like that. So why does that happen? Again, it's true. Jesus had considerable power and resources to draw from as the Son of God. But this same Spirit is inside of us too. So how can we now go on and listen to the Spirit? How can we draw on the power of the Spirit to remain faithful to God in times of testing and temptation? And as we look at Jesus in this story, as we watch him at work in the wilderness, as we follow him into the desert, we see that Jesus devoted himself to scriptures in such a way that when the time of testing and temptation come, he did not forget who he was. He was God's beloved Son, and he was able to remain faithful to God in the wilderness. Sometimes we have doubts. We wonder if God really loves us. If so, we are in good company. I was reminded this week of Protestant reformer Martin Luther. I'm thinking lots about him still because we just celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther had many wilderness experiences in his life. He often doubted. He often felt anxious and depressed. And yet, he remained faithful to God through it all, not perfect. He too acknowledged he was a sinner in need of a Savior, but he remained faithful. How? Because he devoted himself to God's Word. And during those times of testing, he would often remember his baptism and be encouraged. In fact, I heard one author say that he even posted on his wall, "I am baptized," or "I've been baptized." And he would just say that over and over again, "I've been baptized," when he felt anxious or depressed. And because he did that, he was able to remember his baptismal identity and remain true to God. Now, I'm not saying if you read Scripture, you'll never sin. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. We all struggle with sin, and we will to the end of our days here on earth. That's why Jesus came to die on the cross. But I'm saying, as you devote yourself to Scripture, you're more likely to remember your baptismal identity, which will help you remain faithful in the wilderness. As we devote ourselves to Scripture, we come to realize Jesus is with us in the wilderness. As our Good Shepherd, He remains with us on our spiritual journey through the Holy Spirit, who indwells all followers of Christ. So Jesus understands us more than we know, and He wants to walk with us through His Word and Spirit. And so we're invited to call on Him for help. I was reminded of Hebrews chapter 4 in relation to this text. The writer says this, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it most." I wonder if you're in the wilderness. If you are, be encouraged. Jesus walks with you through his Word and Spirit. And if you're not, just prepare yourself, because one day you will be. This is one of the inevitabilities of life, that we will enter the wilderness. We will experience a time of testing and tempting. So as you walk in the wilderness, or as you prepare for that moment, are you clinging to your baptismal identity through the study of God's Word? And as I ask that question, I recognize there are many ways to devote ourselves to God's Word. Regular worship service attendance, daily Bible reading, joining a small group Bible study, attending a faith formation class for students. There are like countless apps, blogs, podcasts that you can use and follow in your daily life. How about attending Bible school? One of the most significant things that my parents did way back in the day was encouraging all of us to attend a Bible school or Bible college before we headed off to other trade schools and universities and the like. It was a wonderful opportunity for us to cling or to devote ourselves to God's Word. You know, our culture says you have to quickly go attend a university or college or a trade school, quickly get your degree or your ticket, and go get a high-paying job, right? That's what it says. Now, there's nothing wrong with earning lots of money. In fact, God needs us. He provides good jobs for us to do that so we can take care of our families, but also we can advance His kingdom in the world, right? He he gives us these gifts so we can bless others. But what's really important in life? And how will you remain faithful to God throughout your life? I've often heard it said that on someone's deathbed, no one looks back and says, I wish I had worked more hours. I wish I had made more money. That's not what we say on our deathbed. But I have heard people say, in fact, we heard that, you know, you've maybe heard Billy Graham just died last week. And Billy Graham has made a huge impact on the world. God used him to proclaim the gospel to many, many people. I remember reading once, this was a few years back, so Billy Graham was obviously quite old by that time. And someone said, so, Dr. Graham, do you have any regrets in your life? He said, well, there is one regret that comes to mind. He says, I wish I would have memorized more scripture. He said, you see, I can't see very well anymore. I can't hear very well. And so I recite those Bible passages to myself over and over again. Oh, I wish I would have learned more scripture. That is what's going to matter in the end. That you had devoted yourself to God's word, that you had remained faithful to God even in the wilderness, that you remember your baptismal identity at all times so you can remain in the family of God and walk closely with your Father as he walks with you. You know, it's interesting, we just talked about this at our Alpha course, because we recently talked about the importance of God's word, and then we talked about the Holy Spirit and how he walks with us. It was just such a good time together. And now we hear it again through this story. Whenever we hear God's word through the sermon, or read it on our own, or hear it through a podcast, or however you hear scripture through your app, God speaks to us through it. And he reveals many things through his word. I mean, there's so much to learn, right? So much to receive and apply. But he especially wants to reveal his love and presence to you. One of my teachers in writing is Richard Foster, and he says, whenever we open up God's word, he says, I am with you. And then we hear the Spirit speaking to us. Are you with me? Happily, we can remain faithful to God in times of testing and temptation as we devote ourselves to God's word. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, you have done it again. You have answered our prayers. You've given us a great blessing through the reading and proclamation of your word. But you've also done something else today. You have reminded us of our baptismal identity, and you have called us to devote ourselves to your word by which you speak directly to us. Lord, forgive us for neglecting your word. And show us now how we can attend to your word in our daily lives. We pray that you would help us to meditate on your word day and night, and show us how to do that in our regular life. As we go off to work or as we go off to school, show us how to devote ourselves to your word, because we know it is extremely important. As we feel your presence through it, we receive guidance through it, we hear the gospel message through it, and through it, we are reminded of our baptismal identity. Lord, we long to remain faithful to you. You are so faithful to us. Please help us now through your Spirit. But we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.